It's rolling.
It's rolling.
Hi, Nick. Welcome to the podcast. Oh, I'm tired. Let's get this over with, dude. All right,
yeah.
So how did you become the best Chase D. Hart impersonator in the world?
I'm not. No, dude, there's some real...
I remember, so...
D. Hart impersonators, actually.
There are a couple.
Some really good ones out there.
His influence is a good one, because like people that ride like him, but... When you were younger and I was younger, I remember thinking like, oh yeah, and you better talk into that mic, dude. Bring it to you.
I need it like here.
Yeah, hold it. You can hold it, put it in your lap, whatever. But like what influenced your early riding? Because seriously, I used to make fun of you for looking like a little baby Chase D.
Actually, my riding was influenced heavily from Sherbo and Edwin.
Nice.
Like, dude, can I eat?
Like, yeah.
Can I Eat came out, and I just fucking, that was like the video I watched
over and over and over again.
Over and over and over again. And like when you look back at old D. Hart stuff, like you can actually see like Bob Edwin, like he just, even before he took his breaks off, like the stuff that he did.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until I actually started seeing D. Hart after he became like brakeless.
Yeah.
So like after the whole like mini ramp, like shit that he was
doing. It's the rollouts that I remember that I was like, oh shit, they look so similar.
Yeah, no, that's just like, I didn't mean to do that.
Of course not.
It's
no.
Just fucking, that's just how I rode. Yeah.
What was like your earliest BMX, I guess, when did it become like a serious thing? Because I don't know, I remember Nick Sebastian was pretty, you know, well known. Still is pretty well known, you know. What was your first taste of like? What was your first big project? I guess.
My first big project. It wasn't really big projects. It was like Small Fry and I and like the homies would just go out and film little edits and stuff like that. And,
shout out to Small Fry.
Yeah, dude, Small Fry's sick. And we would just go out and film edits, and it just became a thing. Like we just.
What was your first sponsor? That's such a. Fucking podcast question.
Such a podcast question. Colt was like my first real sponsor.
Nice.
Yeah. It was I was working at this bike shop called Extremes, and that was like, you know, I've had bike shop sponsors and stuff, and then I was working there and Colt started, and I was like, dude, we got to get Colt inside the store. Like, it's gonna be a big ass company.
Yeah.
And I googled a bunch of shit and found Colt's number online.
Nice.
And Joe V was like, dude, you were the second person to ever contact us.
Wow.
And yeah, we got it inside the store. It started selling like crazy.
Damn, Joe V, dude, I haven't heard his name in so long. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, Joe's fucking awesome.
He really is. He hooked me up with my first free coaster ever, gave me a free Federal free coaster when he worked at Tip Plus.
Hell yeah. Yeah, he was like super one nice. Of the early free coaster dudes.
Yeah,
like,
for real.
So sick. I remember watching a video with him in Bentley.
Yeah.
The Fit video, actually.
Yep.
Yeah. And it
he was early on the half cab downstairs and fakie hop downstairs and shit. Yeah.
He did like the 180 out the bank and like fakie wall ride. Yeah. You know, and I was like, fuck, dude. It's
Joe
so
V.
Yeah.
Hi, Joe V. I really doubt you're listening, but whatever.
But no, I just filmed a little ESPN video. Right around that same time, because Brian Tunney was working for ESPN, and I was filming with Larry Rhodes at that point, and he was like, "Hey, I saw you film with Larry. You know, you should make an ESPN video." And
fuck yeah!
When I talked to Joe V about getting Colt in the store, he's like, "Your name like sounds really familiar. Did you just have a video come out?" And I was like, "Yeah," and he's like, "Dude, can I show it to Robbie?" And I was like, "Yeah, fuck yeah,
hell yeah,
yeah." It just kind of all happened pretty.
This is at the beginning of Colt?
Yeah.
Nice,
like,
dude.
The first few months. Like, I think it was announced, like, at Interbike that they were starting up a new brand. And
yeah.
And, like, it was the next month.
2010 till the end.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask when did Colt come out, but they have a catchy slogan to remind you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like,
so
you better pull this mic towards
really
you.
Really, is it that sensitive? It sounds fine in here, I think.
Just do it in your lap.
Okay.
You can extend it like this.
Extend up.
Unscrew it.
Can I just? It just feels weird in my lap. Is this alright?
That'll be good. Yeah. Okay. Just be close to it.
All right. I'll be close. I'll make sure I'm like here. Kiss it. So yeah.
So you're here visiting Arizona. You used to live here.
Yes.
What actually? Like, I'm curious. What actually? What? How did we meet? Was it here in Arizona? You came.
MySpace.
Out?
Nah. We first met here, like, in person.
Yeah.
But, like,
we knew each other on the internet. We were
friends on, like, MySpace, even.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking nuts to think about.
I remember the first day pulling up to your house on
The Tempe house? The stable. Yeah, the stable.
I just passed 13th Street, and I was like, oh, shit, I used to pedal down that.
I missed that house a lot.
That was a fucking sick house.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember pulling up, and you were just smoking a cigarette on the side of the house, and, you know, I pulled up, and we were just like, oh, shit, fucking meet each other in person. Hell, like, it was crazy. Internet's a weird place.
Why did you move to Arizona?
New Jersey sucks.
is that where you were living?
Yeah.
Is that where you grew up?
Yeah. I grew up in New Jersey my whole life, and shit just got really hard out there. You know, like, New York kind of overtook my hometown, and I was living with no heat or hot water out there. And too expensive.
No shit.
Yeah. It was my dad and I, and, like, we became homeless for a bit, and then we got an apartment, and we had no heat or hot water, and I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
How old were you at this point?
I just turned 21.
Word.
Yeah. And, yeah, just turned 21, no heat or hot water, went through, like, it started at the end of winter, and then, like, by the time winter was rolling around again, that's when I was like, okay, I gotta get out of here. Like, there's no
That's no so nuts, this. Dude. Yeah, fuck yeah. Winter, honestly. Like, summer is coming right now. It's, like, 100 degrees. In a couple of weeks, it's gonna be brutal. But it's better than having to, like, wipe snow off of your windshield every morning.
Yeah, and be exactly. depressed. Yeah. No, winter does suck, and trust me, being here, I'm like, fuck, why did I ever leave? But
Life took you on the route that you took, and now Dead Bread's killing it, and you're living good. You got a girl, you got a kid, two kids, one kid?
One kid.
One kid.
One kid, my girl has two kids.
Hell yeah. So,
yeah, and they all get along really well. It's awesome.
That's fucking sick. You got yourself a little fam, dude. Yeah. So on this vacation, you're in Arizona. We were talking before that you're here for a week just to, like, come back, get out of town, and take a week off of work.
Yeah.
And
just chill by the pool.
Did you bring the kids?
No.
Nice.
Not this time.
Nice. Yeah. You got a babysitter?
Well.
Or family or something?
Yeah. It's my daughter's with her mom.
Word.
And then her, you know, my girl's kids are with their dad, so
nice.
Yeah.
How old is your daughter now?
She's 7.
Dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
Time flies, man. Yeah. That's so crazy.
So crazy, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's a I don't know. It is insane. Every year that goes by,
he's developing, like, into a human being now.
Yeah.
That's so nuts.
It's like, yeah, it's another year is gone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You gotta soak in all the moments, mm-hmm. from what I hear. I'd like to have a kid someday, but couple steps before it.
No, it is awesome. Like, seriously, I wouldn't have changed it for anything.
They say, I've heard, like, people say, you're never ready, just it happens, and you make it work.
I was 24, you know, so, like,
yeah
it was crazy.
What were you doing before Dead Bread? Because people don't know the conversation we had before. How is Dead Bread doing?
Dead Bread's great.
Just told me that you quit something.
Yes. Yeah. I was basically a production manager, but they, like, wouldn't label it a manager. Basically, I, like, oversaw the plant and, like, how the workflow went through, created the work, and, like, made sure everything was on time, shipping, and, like, that was my job.
Just curious.
It was an electromechanical components company, so, like, we made something called a commutator that goes into a motor that, like, reverses the current.
Okay. Just a little thing.
Yeah. So crazy. I mean, they're, like, they go from, like, little tiny things to, like, fucking 600 pound, like, round.
Yeah,
it's wild.
Whoa. But
yeah, we I was doing that for almost four years.
Wow. Okay. Word.
Yeah.
Good money.
Yeah, it was decent. I mean,
good enough.
Yeah,
to have, you know, three kids in the house and a girl and shit.
yeah. No, it was a decent job for sure. And, like, at one point I actually felt myself like, oh, like, I'm gonna retire from here type of thing.
Oh, no.
And
shit.
And yeah, and then eventually I was just like, I don't want to do this. And, like, I had Dead Bread kind of on the side doing some stuff, and, like, I was like, I need to do something with that more.
Yeah.
And the opportunity came up and I just fucking did it. Like, I almost did it back in 2020. I stopped myself because of COVID.
Yeah.
And luckily, because everything shut down like a month after I was looking at the place.
For real, yeah.
And then
I'm like, hey, I got a new company and a new store, and then COVID.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. That would suck.
Luckily I didn't do it, but then the opportunity for this one came up and I was like, all right, this is like too perfect. I'm gonna
brick and mortar.
Yeah.
And so tell me how Dead Bread started while I close the door.
Okay.
Good. Talk. How did Dead Bread start?
So Dead Bread started basically like this girl who worked for Vine that I knew. She
for Vine?
Yeah. So weird, right? She was like, hey, I'm trying to stop, like, I'm trying to leave Vine and start up my own thing. And, like, her job at Vine was basically working with, like, the top influencers, getting them deals. And she was like, yeah, I can't use any of my clients that I've had through Vine on my resume, you know, for my portfolio. So she was like, I want to, like, do that with you and use you on my portfolio.
What
and
the fuck?
I was like, yeah. And I was like, all right, I guess. And she was like, well, you need like a brand attached to yourself, like some type of merchandise.
So it wasn't even your idea.
Well, no, she was like, yeah, you just need like a merchandise thing. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I've always loved clothing and like doing shit, yeah, like designing, like drawing and shit. And she was like, yeah, so we can work off that. And she wanted it to be like a Nick Sabasti
brand. Thing, yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, nah. I was like, not doing that. That's fucking weird to me. And I came up with Dead Bread randomly and just like, I don't know, started making up the logo.
You're just like, that sounds cool. Does it mean anything special to you or anything?
Not necessarily. It was actually a 2 Chainz song that I always got stuck in my head. And nice. I was like, yeah, I'm going to fucking run off that.
Perfect. And, had you done like production of shirts prior to starting it?
No.
So it was just all learning from scratch?
Yeah. I mean, through BMX, like, I had an idea on how things were done. And, like, you know, Robbie specifically, when I was riding for Colt, like, him and I talked a lot about things. And, like,
that's dope.
I learned a decent amount through that. And then just, like, I always kind of pick up on things as I go. So, like, even just riding for other companies as time went on, I saw, like, how things were done.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Like,
give me an example.
I can do this. I don't know. Like, just fucking... Like, what kind of an example?
I don't know. What was their next sponsor after Colt?
BSD for frames.
Oh, yeah.
And I talked to Grant Smith still to this day. Like, yeah. We talk a lot, actually.
He seems super nice.
Yeah, yeah. I got Noah hooked up on BSD. And
nice. Good fucking hookup. That kid is so good. Yeah,
so sick.
Yeah.
And then Trent eventually ended up going to BSD, and now Grant's on BSD.
Yeah,
so, like,
the Michigan squad.
The whole Dead Bread team.
Yeah, is Trent from BSD. Michigan?
Yeah, yeah.
Dope.
Like, 40 minutes, not even, from where I'm living right now.
Nice.
Like, in a small town. Like,
what's the other Michigan company that they rode for or rode with and went on trips with?
Daily Grind, Ohio.
Yes, Daily Grind. Yeah, yeah. And then I'm blanking on his name. Goblin. Right?
Gremlin.
Gremlin. Damn it. Yeah, yeah. Right. Sorry, Gremlin.
Gremlin.
I love that guy. He's fucking
he's
cool.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude.
Goblin. Sorry.
The first time I met Gremlin was in Ohio on a Primo trip. And, it was me, Craig, Scott Marceau, and Small Fry came with us. And he was filming, like, a We the People thing.
Yeah.
And that was a really fucking productive trip. It was a crazy trip. And we met up with Gremlin. And when we met him, like, he had this, like, long hair. And, like, you know what Gremlin looks like now.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the same.
Not that. Yeah. And we pull up, and Scott's like, all right, this dude Gremlin's here. Like, don't look at him funny. Like, this and that. Like... apparently used to be like fucking gnarly, like he used to like fuck people up and shit.
Wow.
So like we were like, oh, all right, like fuck. And the whole time, like, I'm like looking down everything, and then I got
don't
to,
make eye contact with Gremlin, dude. That's scary.
And then I met Gremlin years later, and like whole different person and everything, and I was just like, ah, fuck. You know, like,
I wonder if that's true, like if he was in a phase of like violence and shit, but they just made it up.
I don't know. That's what I mean. Like, it was, I don't know. Scott was just fucking with us or something at the time. But like
Scott Marceau?
Yeah.
Damn, it's crazy all the names that just like through the years it's still, you know, like it's like we're fucking old now. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
30.
Yeah.
I'm
32. I'll be 31 in June.
Yep. So we're old for BMX, dude.
Dude, old. definitely old.
Remember being 18 and hungry and riding and making edits and all that? I guess, dude, the fact that Corey Martinez is still going and just turned 40 and he's like still at the top of his game is fucking amazing.
Yeah. And Corey's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he's killing it. There's a few dudes out there that are just still in it. It's fucking awesome.
Longevity. Like, who else besides Corey is old and still killing it? I mean, there's people in their late 30s that are definitely still killing it. Oh, I think Nathan is probably older than us.
No? Oh, yeah, definitely. No, there's definitely people older than us. Yeah. I mean, like, even Dakota's. Like,
true. Yeah.
He's fucking dropping two video parts a year.
Yeah.
And, like,
video parts.
Like, video, bangers. Video parts. Yeah. Like, he doesn't put something out that's like, yeah, okay. You know, it's like, Garrett has got to be, he's only like a year or two older than me, I think, though. But yeah, there's definitely some people out there that are older. I don't know, like, Van Homan. I don't know if he's riding them.
He's riding a little bit, I think. I've seen on Instagram. Like, he moved to Paris or something. He's doing a bunch of stuff with Source.
Yeah.
So I saw him, riding a bank spot in Paris, and I was like, that's
exactly.
cool.
Yeah. There's even Bob Sherbo just posted today, like, he's been off on a broken foot the past few months, but, like, still out there riding, filming, like, that's doing awesome. It, you know?
Yeah.
Like, still fully involved, which is sick as fuck.
Scapegoat. It's the La Verde. What was the right? Is that the name of the latest one?
Vesalinda.
Scapegoat something. Vesalinda, maybe. That sounds right. There's a recent scapegoat video that I watched, and I was like, oh, that's dope. Like, Mark Burnett is in it.
I think that, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Lacuna.
Lacuna is what it is. Yeah. He always has some crazy names for it.
Yeah. He's a mysterious guy, but you know him, huh?
Yeah.
How'd you meet him?
When I was 12 years old, when I was 12 years old, I went to the Banks, and I was wearing his signature low-tech shoes.
Wow.
And he was sitting off to the side, just like, I think he was probably rolling a blunt or something, and like, fucking just went up to him. We were wearing the same shoes. And I was like, oh, nice shoes, man. And he was just like, thanks. And like, he just started talking to me. He's like, where are you from? Like, you know, whatever. And just
being nice to the little 12-year-old.
Yeah. And then he's like, what's your name? And I told him my name. And then he was like, oh, I'm Bob, and shook my hand. And as soon as he said Bob, it like clicked.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. You're Bob. I'm wearing your shoes. And like, he was like, oh yeah, come up here and like meet all the dudes. And like, at the time, I knew Edwin when I saw Edwin, you know, because like they always showed Edwin, but like Bob, it was more just like raw footage of him. There was never like clips of his face being shown and stuff.
True, yeah.
Like, so I didn't recognize him, but yeah, he was like, yeah, just come up the hill and like, you know, introduce you to guys. And there was like, I think like Roan, Ed, like all those dudes were
there. Wow. 20 years ago you met.
Yeah.
Basically 20 years ago you met Roan, Edwin, Bob. That's
dude,
fucking awesome.
It was
awesome,
so
dude.
Weird.
Yeah.
And then, he was like, oh yeah, we're gonna go ride street if you want to come. And I was like, fuck, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a 13 tooth cog on, and I feebled the little flat rail there, and the cog snapped in two pieces.
Oh no.
So I was like, oh, fuck, I gotta go home.
Sorry guys,
like,
I gotta go home.
Yeah.
Your voice hasn't changed yet. Shit.
So yeah, it was a crazy thing. But then I started seeing them everywhere after that, like all the animal premieres and like just out and about here and there. Like even just ran into them on the train and stuff. Because
you grew up in New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
Did Garrett also grow up in New Jersey?
Yeah,
Did you meet him ever?
A few times, I feel like, at Incline Club.
Damn, that place I haven't thought about in a minute.
Yeah,
Scotty Kramer.
Yeah, Kramer, like the whole Kramer family.
That's all from New Jersey, too?
Yeah.
Wow, dude. New Jersey's stacked.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Van Homan's from New Jersey.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
All right.
Van, Diethart, Daryl Taco, they're all from the same area. Then, like, Bob and I think Wismerski's from... No, he might be Philly. I think Wismerski's Philly.
Yeah. Philly's also stacked.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's definitely a crazy place because it's also small, too.
Yeah.
Like, New Jersey's tiny. Philly and New York so close to each other. Like, yeah, it's weird. Wild.
It's... I can't like relate to that because I've never lived in a like near in one of those areas where it's like not that far to go from state to state, like Arizona. It's like a
5-hour
drive, 6-hour drive to California, or same thing, like 10-hour drive to New Mexico, Albuquerque. So it's a different thing. But
yeah.
That's interesting because like I don't know, New York, New Jersey, Philly, all related, and all the surrounding areas, all the riders there. That's crazy, dude. And those videos also shaped my young riding eyes. Like, Cleon showed me Animal Can I Eat and Voices. And ooh, those two videos were like
the... Joe Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Cox is a goddamn legend forever. Yes.
Yeah. The... yeah, no, Can I Eat, I remember, came out, and I didn't get to go to the video premiere. I was super bummed. But I got the Can I Eat shirt, and nice. I wore that, like, every single day to the point where it was tan.
That's sick.
And then, yeah, and then all day when that came around, like, I was at, like, every premiere
nice. For
it. And just, like, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It was so sick.
That was Animal's heyday.
Oh, yeah.
So, can you say publicly the thing you told me earlier? About Animal?
Yeah. No, I'm going to start doing some sales work for him.
That's dope.
I'm pretty sure it's international sales. Not really positive, actually. When we first talked, it was going to be international sales, but I'm not sure. We just got everything, like, the ball rolling on it this past week while I've been here. So
nice.
Yeah, so.
That's exciting.
Yeah, no,
fuck,
I'm hyped. Yeah. I'm hyped.
Who's the contact at Animal? Who runs it?
Ralph still owns it.
Nice.
Ralph, and I was just on the phone with Ralph and Howard, and Bo is fucking awesome. He's one of the sales reps.
Sick.
Yeah, it's mainly just gonna be us four doing everything.
That's so dope.
Yeah,
that's cool. Sick. You're gonna get involved with Animal sales. That's fucking cool. Bring them back. I don't know. They never went anywhere.
They're still, I mean, they went the same way every other thing did in BMX.
You know,
it was like there was this super huge peak, like, up at the top, and then, like, kind of came back down, and every company navigated it differently.
Yeah.
And Animal definitely struggled through it, just like a bunch of other companies did, but they survived, and they kept going.
That's what's,
like,
up.
They're still doing shit, like, putting out new parts constantly and new videos. Howard's fucking killing it. It's like... next week I think we're gonna be in Ohio, and then from Ohio he's gonna split off to go to New York with some of the dudes from Canada, and I'm gonna head back to Michigan before they go to New York. But
nice.
Yeah, it's just he's constantly like,
yeah, Ryan Howard seems like he's really on a mission. Like, dude, he's the most motivated fucker in BMX right now.
Yeah, like we just talked about Dakota, and, like, you know, Dakota, I feel like, is always talked about, like, he's always out searching for spots, fixing spots, like,
yeah,
you know. And, like, Howard's on that same level. Like, he really is. It's like he's has every tool in the van needed to, like, fix anything, take care of anything. Like, oh, this needs to be cut out, oh, this needs to be bondoed, like,
yeah,
you know, we need to cut these caps off. Like, we'll be out in the middle of Detroit, like, main busy streets, and he's out there with the grinder fucking grinding sick. Caps off and shit. Like,
he's a true BMX nerd, dude. That's fucking awesome.
Like, even like the local skate scene, because I talk to all the skaters in Michigan and stuff, and like we'll trade spots with each other and stuff, and like be like, yeah, like we just cut the caps off that, like it's free game now, you know.
Don't
like,
hit it. Yeah. I was just talking to Trevi. I think yours will come out after his, but he's also the spot mod guy, and
yeah.
Also communicates with skaters, and every time he posts a DIY spot, like 35 skaters show up and kind of blow it up. But
that's cool that
you guys share spots like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously there's certain things here and there, like certain people I'll even share with stuff more than others.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I'm not one of those people who is like,
it's my spot.
Yeah. Even when I see like spot accounts, I've seen people get like pissed off about them. Yeah. And I'm like, I get it, I guess, but like. We're all doing the same
thing. It's kind of nice, though. What is a spot account? I'm trying to think. Remember their name.
There's so many different ones.
There's one dude that just is basically all California.
Spot man dude.
Yeah.
They just talked about this on Unclicked, I think.
Actually. Oh, no shit.
Yeah. He is all over the place. Like, he'll post spots literally from one side of the country to the other in one post.
What does he do for a living that he's doing this?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That's what I mean. The fact that this is, like, the second podcast talking about him, at least, you know, who knows, maybe there's fucking a million out there who have mentioned him in the past 6 months, but, like...
Well, we all follow him, you know,
because
it's interesting, you know, it's like, I want to see the spots, let's go.
Yeah, no, he's fucking putting in the work to find some shit.
For real.
So...
What's your favorite spot you ever rode?
Fuck. Dude, that's a tough one on the spot, I don't know. I gotta say the Brooklyn Banks.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, my instant thought process was like, I was started thinking about like clips I've filmed type of thing, you know, like, oh, like what spot did I get a clip on that I was happy about?
Yeah.
But I was like, no, like spot that I had fun riding and just like cruising around and shit.
I'm so jealous,
dude. Like growing up there, I can't wait to be able to go hit him again. Like,
yeah,
I'm so happy that they're gonna be saved.
Yeah, why is it, do you know the story about like them demolishing and then saving, like what the fuck?
Somewhat, what the hell happened? As far as I know, it's just like they closed them down for bridge construction for a bit, and then they reopened them, and then they did like an extensive bridge construction, and that's where like they store all the construction equipment and everything down there. So
okay, so it was never going to be demolished. It was just like
they talked about like with the new reconstruction of the bridge that they were going to demolish it and like rechange everything down there. But then Steve from Fiveborough, he's been really on top of like
advocating,
trying to make sure that they don't get torn down. And then I think Tony Hawk stepped in, and that's when it like really
nice.
Yeah,
like, Tony Hawk is saving Brooklyn Banks.
Tony Hawk fucking kills it, and yeah. It's sick because like Tony Hawk makes skate parks all over the place, and like
yeah.
gets money up for all these skate parks all over the place. And like even on the Tony Hawk side, it like talks about like how skateboarding, BMX, everything like should be able to be at every park and like everything. So he's like
nice.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of legwork for BMX. Everyone.
That's BMX, dope.
Skateboarding, everything.
That's like, great.
He's, yeah. No, it's sick. And yeah, he stepped in, and now the Brooklyn Banks I think are gonna be like they're gonna be kept but like refurbished and like
dope.
Yeah. So amazing. A few things are gonna be changed. I think they were talking about like redoing certain areas.
Dope.
But yeah.
That's what's happening here with Deck Park. Like it's totally different right now. There's it's such an old spot. It was like that. You can see that it used to be like pristine ledges, but everything is so crusty and grimy now. It's like kind of actually not fun to grind, but
yeah.
They just like filled in where the fountains were with all concrete. I don't know if you've seen that,
but
it changes the whole like vibe of Deck Park. But
really,
I keep hearing rumors that it's going to be bye-bye pretty soon, which is, yeah, it's like,
I kept hearing that for a long time.
Yeah.
Like every time I heard like 3 years ago that Deck Park was going to be gone.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still there, dude. So.
Yeah. And then we had the Dead Bread Jam here. Like, we did a whole Dead Bread trip to Phoenix.
Yeah, I remember.
It ended up fucking raining the entire trip, which was insane.
Good. And keep you out of my state, dude. Get
We legit had... So, like, the jam was the first day being here. And we got through the jam. And, like, after that, it started raining. Like,
yeah.
Basically, at the tail end of the jam, it started pouring. And then it snowed at one point. While we were here.
Nice.
So we end up basically just drinking the whole time in the hot tub and like chilling out.
Yeah.
And we got some clips. We got some clips done.
I remember you guys coming to the crib and meet. That's when I met Trent and Grant for the first time.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking amazing humans. Yeah. But I couldn't make it to the fucking jam for some reason. I was working. I forget.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good jam. There's a decent amount of people out there.
That's like, yeah. Sick. The Arizona scene is really good.
Oh, yeah. There's
tons of people.
But that was the last time I was at Deck. Was that?
Wow.
And that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So
just talking about it now, I'm like, I live here. I should go ride Deck like soon. You know?
Yeah.
Like it's one of those spots that is like you take it for granted.
Yeah.
And it's blown out. Everybody's goes there all the time, but I need to go to Deck.
As soon as they start carrying it up, steal one of those rails.
Yeah. Right.
One of the Dakota rails.
The red up rails.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing you've seen on the up rail at Deck Park?
The Dakota. Nose Manual Manual Hanger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nose Manual Manual Hanger is pretty good. I'm saying Ballman dude did 180 pegs up it to cab.
That's fucking amazing.
Which is pretty crazy.
That is awesome.
Ballman sometimes just busts out legendary shit.
Yeah. Small Fry did a toothpick to crank arm to 360 up it.
Nice. Yeah.
That was wild too.
And there's been so many jams, and like you just set up at that rail, and then everybody does shit. I've seen like pegs up to bar, pegs up to opposite whip, pegs up whip. Literally everything has been done at Deck Park. It's kind of wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nonstop.
But there's little niches, you know, that you can find some jibby jabby to do, you know?
Yeah. Even like they, where that little bank to where the window was, they put up plywood over the windows.
Yeah.
And I was riding that last time I was there. Yeah. Like, fuck, this is awesome.
Spoiler, but in Mediocre 2, Clay rides that spot and does a really sick line that I'm excited for people to see. Yeah.
I'm excited to see that video, actually.
I'll show you some footage, maybe, if it's not too late. What time is it? 8:30. Okay. It's almost past my bedtime, brother.
I gotta get to the bar.
Deck Park, Tricks, I was gonna tell you the best thing that's ever happened at Deck Park is the mediocre best party line, dude.
Yeah, I was gonna say that is. You asked about the rail though.
Yeah, I did specifically say the rail, and that wasn't in the party line.
Yeah, the party line and Nick Monnell, the tire ride where you're like,
oh yeah,
shit,
yeah, and got hung by his leg, like, yeah, so yeah, crazy. And that's before he landed it. So he wanted to do tire ride 3, and he kept blowing up. Like, he would do the spin and blew off a couple of times, but he was doing the tire rides consistently. And then he messed up on that one and just like dropped into Smith or died or whatever. And then he's walking it off. Like, he literally is hanging by his knee. Where's the picture? I have the picture somewhere in my room or in my office or something. But, and then like he gets up, and 3 tries later, he changed his mind and he's like, I'll just Smith it. And it's like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah, right. This is at 4 in the morning in the middle of summer, towards the end of the Lightworks year in 2018, dude. So that's everybody crazy. Should go watch Nick Bunnell's Lightworks part.
Cause hell yeah. Dude, so good.
He gets slept on. Yeah. And, dude, he's going through some shit with his knee. And if you guys listening want to help, go look at Nick Bunnell's Instagram or DM him and send him some donations on through Venmo, because he's in a tough spot right now with his girlfriend's like working 2 jobs to try and hold everything together. Oh, you know,
dude, it's so gnarly.
Life can get hard.
It is. It's I definitely take it easier now. Like, make sure I don't hurt myself too bad.
Yeah.
Now that I have the store, it's not as bad. I feel like, you know, before I was like, oh, I got to get up and go to his job and, like, you know, fucking work. You know? And, like, now I'm like, oh, I can go sit behind the counter at the store and, like,
chill.
You know? Yeah, like, yeah, I'll get up here and there. So, like, if I do get hurt, it's not as bad, I feel like. But
true.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You can still do your job with a messed up knee or
That's
something.
That's what I mean. Like, even last week, like, I actually had a pretty bad stomach virus for 24 hours. I'm like, I had to go open up the store, and I just laid behind the fucking countertop, and like when the doorbell opened, I was just like popped up. You know, I was like, what up?
Hello.
Yeah. I was like, you're I can do that it? At a real job. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, I was like, real. Yeah, I'm working on a printer down here, you know?
So dope, dude.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about Deadbread. Like, you got this brick and mortar spot, and what's the main, you know, breadwinner for, like, you're doing it full time now. This is like, you quit your job.
Yeah.
You're full time Deadbread, which is so crazy to me. Like, cause you think, I think of it as just like, you know, a little t-shirt company, but now you're making a living off of it. Like, what is it called when it's a company's like flagship? What's the flagship product or whatever? Like, what is a, like, cause it, for example, with BMX companies, I think it's Complete Bikes and then like Grips that make the most money.
Oh,
I think, but.
That's funny, because that's all I carry for BMX at the store, really, is like
Grips.
I carry a few Completes, and I carry like Grips, tires, a few seats.
Yeah, the reusable shit.
Yeah, you know, chains. I'll carry pegs and stuff, but I don't carry like stems and sprockets and forks and cranks and all that stuff.
Interesting.
Like,
why not? They just don't sell?
They don't sell as often. Yeah. And it's like, I'm sure online they'd probably sell and stuff, but like, I don't want to use up my storage space inside the store for stuff that's going to sell here and there.
Yep.
So it's mainly all that stuff. And the stuff that sells the most, I would say, is the Deadbread stuff, like the Deadbread clothing.
That's awesome. And
yeah, I'll sell like other brands' clothing a lot. Actually, like, I hit up Garrett and got some Fiend soft goods in the store, and everything sold in the past like week.
Nice.
Yeah, like,
fuck,
I just got a small amount based on what they had in stock.
Yeah.
But even just that, like the few shirts, hat, whatever, like stuff I got from them, just all within 1 week was gone.
That's cool, dude. You're holding it down.
So it was fucking cool, like, seeing that stuff. Like, I've been carrying like a lot of smaller brands between like BMX, skate, like, and yeah, it's just being able to sell all that stuff. Like, all I know is Goon is a skate crew out in New Jersey, and like, I stock their pants and shirts and socks and stuff, and like, everything flies off the shelf for them. So it's like,
that's dope.
Yeah, it's like being able to support those smaller brands through it.
So you're seeing the scene firsthand. Would you say the skating scene? I would bet the skating scene is way bigger than the BMX scene in Michigan.
It's just different. Like, Michigan's very spread out. So it's like, where I'm at is 20 minutes between Flint and Lansing.
Okay.
Each way, and then we're about an hour from Grand Rapids or Detroit and Ann Arbor. So everything's really spread out in that sense. And each area has its own scene. Like the Detroit scene's pretty huge for BMX and skateboarding.
Okay.
I would say the Flint scene is definitely more skate heavy than BMX. Lansing scene is like a good mixture. Grand Rapids, same thing, like 50-50.
Who would I know from Grand Rapids or Detroit?
Or Flint. Well, Detroit, I mean, Corey. We're
Corey, yeah, obviously.
Nick.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nick Bullen. Miss him. He's a fucking wild man, throwing axes and being a fucking man, dude.
Yeah. Like, Chase Krolicki, so he's from... he's from there. Obviously, Trent Grant.
Michigan video, dude. Yeah.
Trent Grant. Noah's from the UP, but he's up there.
Yep.
There's this dude, Pat Ellis, that's like an old legend in Michigan. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
But I'll follow him now.
Yeah. He's sick.
Pat Ellis.
Loose Spokes. At Loose Spokes.
Oh, no shit. Okay. Yeah. I think I already follow Loose Spokes.
Okay. Yeah, he's sick. He's from Grand Rapids. And he's been holding it down in GR for a long time.
I wasn't following him, but fuck yeah, now I am.
Michigan is like
Loose Spokes.
Full of history too. So like Dane Wild, Mark Flip, like Albies. Like Albies is out of Detroit area.
That Fawson. Era.
Yeah. Same thing with the skate scene out there too. It's like you have all these old skate shops like Plus, Premier out in Grand Rapids, like. There are huge skate shops that like have been around forever. That's type of thing.
And
like,
pretty fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah. So skate and BMX scene in Michigan is just like has history there.
Yeah.
It's big. So
it's cool. Interesting too, because everybody migrates to Arizona. Like Jackson Casey and the Boyish Crew or what is now Pyramid Country. Like,
yeah, dude,
Pyramid they migrated Country. Down here and then met up with JJ and he started doing the art and, like, it all came together. Bobby Green, fucking Pyramid Country became like big legit thing, and it's all just Michigan dudes. I'm watching their videos and I'm like, oh, this is so fucking sick. They influenced my shit a lot. But I was like, where's all this footage come? There's this one quarter pipe in Michigan that I'm like, where's that spot? But then I see it's in Michigan or whatever. So
I wonder which quarter it was.
Arizona and Michigan, like, all together. The quarter pipe was like in a corner, and it was kind of, it looked like it was quick created or something. And in the Boyish video, I think,
Lansing, I think it's a small, like 2 foot tall one.
Yeah,
I just had a clip on it in Elfest 3.
Nice,
Hell it's a little, there's actually a guardrail that they put in front of it, and you gotta like unbolt it and move the guardrail.
Nice.
But yeah, it's fucking insane that it exists.
Yeah,
it's like this little, it's this tall, has like probably this much vert on it.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's wild. It's
so sick.
Yeah,
that's like 20 cool minutes from my house.
That's awesome. Yeah.
that's one wild. Of the first spots I rode in Michigan.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about why Arizona to Michigan. What migrated you there?
My daughter's mom.
Okay, gotcha.
She was working at Spinelli's here in Tempe, and she was from Michigan, and that's a thing.
Your life story is wild. Yeah.
Arizona, Michigan, such a weird thing, because even like her apartment complex. Two doors down were people from the same town that she's originally from in Michigan.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of people migrate here. My fucking ex is from Michigan.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Matt, that you lived with in Tempe.
Matt Osborne.
Yeah.
He's from Michigan.
He's from Michigan.
No shit. Wow.
Yeah, Matt Osborne.
Shout out Matt. He's not listening to this all, but love that guy.
He's watching a BMW.
Oh, podcast. Man. I have a fucked up story that, like, made Matt hate me. I was completely blacked out and I thought it was funny. I was like, I just got out of the shower in this hotel in California, and I took like a beer bottle, and I'm laying kind of naked on the bed, but I have a towel over me, and I like just wasted. I just put the bottle under the towel to make it look like it's my unbelievably big dick. Like you can't for a second think that it's real.
Yeah.
And just sent it to, like, I would open my Instagram and I just went do 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 do, and I literally sent it to everybody. And then like the next morning, I wake up to so many angry texts from so many people, like, you sending my dick pics to my girl, bro? And I'm like, oh my god, what the fuck did I do? And I had to call him and explain, and he was like, I'm gonna come over there and kick your fucking ass type shit. And I was like, dude, please, I would never do anything like that. I'm sorry. I was just joking around, and I literally sent it to everybody. It's not like I was targeting her. Like,
yeah.
Whew.
It's a rough,
yeah, rough that was one. Yeah, I definitely have made some regrettable decisions when you're drunk, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What is, you got any gnarly stories that you've that you regret?
Not necessarily.
Of course not. On the record.
On the camera. No, I don't know. I'm sure I do for sure. Actually, I just, I mean, yeah. There's got to be. Got to be for sure.
Well, we'll go back to regular podcasting. What's your fucking favorite place that BMX ever took you?
Oof.
Was it mostly like do it yourself, or were you traveling a bunch with teams?
Most of it was do it yourself. I've went on a few trips that were like, you know, company related, Animal, obviously the past few years, like I go on a lot of trips for Animal actually.
Yeah. There's a lot of bugs in my house, dude.
There's a lot of bugs. There's, no, yeah, Animal. I go on a lot of trips for them with Howard. Riding wise, I've been to a lot of cool places that like were fucking cool. Like St. Louis was crazy.
I'd like to go there. I've never been to St. Louis.
Yeah, it was a cool place. I like, it's nothing, it wasn't a place I would have ever went to just to like go visit. You know, like I never was like, oh, I want to go to St. Louis one day.
Tell me about your St. Louis trip.
What
was it for? Who were you with?
Jack O'Leary. Shouts out to Jack.
Shout out to Jack.
He's fucking sick. He's from St. Louis. And he got put on Animal. So Howard and I were like, oh, let's fucking go out to St. Louis and ride with Jack.
Dope.
And yeah, I just drove into Ohio, hopped in the Animal van, and we drove from there to St. Louis. And it was a sick trip. It was hot as fuck. Really fucking hot. And
probably humid a little bit.
So humid, dude. Yeah. And
Missouri.
St. Louis is a crazy place. There's a lot of abandoned, like it's pretty much just abandoned and like pretty run down, and just like most places we end up riding, you know, it's like everywhere we go we want it to be shitty. But yeah, no, he showed us around St. Louis and it was fucking sick, and we got a lot done on that trip, and Jack was fucking amazing. And then we went out to I forget the name of the area, but it's where Red's BMX is, and that shop is cool as fuck. And like the owner of Red's, he showed us around that area.
That's dope. Yeah, they're big. Like I know that name.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah. Red's BMX is a big thing. They kill it out there. And I talk to that dude regularly now. I'm just like,
hell
fucking,
yeah.
It was just a cool scene out there. I really liked it.
That's dope.
But yeah, it's one of those places that I was just like, you know, I never would have just been like, man, I want to go to St. Louis and like, check out St. Louis. Think, you know what I mean?
Exactly,
but like, riding wise, it was fucking awesome.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think I've ever been there. Maybe I've passed through. I think I've probably been at the airport, like for a layover or something, but never been. I wish I could see it, like in its heyday. You know, same with Detroit. Like, it's such a shame that like all the industry went overseas, and then all of a sudden now it's just shanty towns. You know, it's so crazy. Just like that, it's like everything's gone.
Exactly.
All right,
that's what like, Flint's like.
That's so wild to think about, dude. Like
Flint was General Motors, and then just like, you know, they pulled out one of their main plants there, and it was just like fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing left.
What a shame.
Just empty homes all over the place. Like, people just fucking, it looks like when I first moved there, it's changed a little bit now, but like when I first moved there, Flint's only 20 minutes away, and like it seemed kind of like a ghost town in certain areas where it's like you go through an area and it seems like the end of the world happened, because there's just like blocks of just houses, empty houses that are boarded up, and like,
yeah,
you know, some of them caught on fire, some of them are still perfectly standing, and it's like,
it's wild,
really weird place. And then like you'll come across neighborhoods where it's like one house, like people still living in it, and then the rest of it's gone.
Yeah,
so it's like that's like the survivors of like the end of the world, you know,
like
it's
movie.
Weird. Yeah, it's
have
so
you seen
crazy.
The movie Barbarian?
Yeah, that's
you
based
have?
Out of Detroit.
Yeah, because like that street, that's exactly what I'm picturing in my head, you know.
That's exactly how I picture it, because I even look at old photos from the past.
I can't believe you've seen that movie. That movie's so fucking nuts,
it's
dude.
It's so weird.
Yeah. I was like, this is like an interesting like thriller of an Airbnb, and then all of a sudden the twist fucking happens, and you're like, what the fuck? Everybody should watch Barbarian if you get a chance.
10 out of 10.
For real.
No, it was fucking wild. That's why I watched it, though, because I saw it was like based out of Detroit, and I was like, oh, shit. Like, let's check this out. See what it is. And I was like, mind blown. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like, mama.
You keep trying to guess, like, what's, don't spoil it, but you keep kind of trying to guess, like, what the hell's going to happen? Is this dude sketch? Blah, blah, blah. And then the craziest twist in all of movie history, I think. That shit was so cool. It got a little unrealistic towards the end, but
Exactly. It's fun. But whatever,
It starts like a psychological thriller. I actually, like, watched YouTube videos about it. It started like a psychological thriller, and then it turns into a slasher type, like, comically fucking gnarly horror film, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a crazy, it was definitely wild.
It's like, worth watching.
Roller coaster.
100%. Yeah. What's another movie? Let's talk about movies.
Movies. Dude, I don't know about movies, but I'm just watch. I just started watching a show called Jury Duty.
Jury Duty. Okay.
Yeah, it's on Freevee, and shout out to Freevee
because Freevee
free. Yeah. But no, they.
You don't have Netflix?
I have Netflix.
Okay.
But I ran out of stuff on Netflix. Really, winter, dude. Winter in Michigan sucks. But yeah, Freevee, Jury Duty. It's a show about like all these people who are getting cast for Jury Duty in Los Angeles area. So it was like actors and stuff mixed into the Jury Duty.
Yeah.
And there's one dude that thinks that they're filming a documentary about this whole situation, but like he doesn't know that everyone else is acting in it.
Oh shit.
And so he's just kind of like all this crazy. It's like, it's almost like watching The Office or like Trailer Park Boys or something, where it's like, you know, showing the, like the real life side of things. And he's just sitting there like, dude, what the fuck is going on?
That's interesting. That's a cool concept.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. I'll check out Jury Duty. Did you watch Beef on Netflix?
Yes. Dude, yeah. That was one of my favorites.
I was so skeptical. I was like, ah, this is going to be some, you know, stupid shit. Some woke shit, dude. Yeah. And then it turns out it's the best show I've ever seen. I watched it twice. I cried. I laughed. It was so fucking good, dude.
It's actually one of those things where, like, I have a hard time getting into a show. Like,
it fucking gets you, dude.
Yeah. It needs, like, the first episode needs to just catch me.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, this is worth my time.
It's A24. That's the production house that makes it. And they did Unhidden Gems. And that shit is, like, an anxiety attack the whole time.
With I don't think I've seen that one.
It's Adam Sandler. He's, like, a jeweler.
Yeah.
And that movie is just, like, nonstop problems. And that's the same, like, concept with Beef. Like, nonstop problems. But it's, like, I love it, dude. I'm nervous. Tomorrow I'm doing a, like, proper shoot with my guy Jamil. And I didn't storyboard it. I just have a script. And I'm kind of... We always wing it. But it's, like, a proper ad for... his like coaching, and I gotta be able to like plan out shots where he's in the same scene with himself using suction cups on a car for the first time ever. Like,
okay. I'm
expanding my comfort zone tomorrow morning at like 7 a.m. and I'm kind of scared, you know?
Yeah, got it.
And then in post, I have to go in. So his Rolls Royce, he wants to film it in, and he wants to have a conversation with the genie and I have to turn him blue in post. And so I have to like select the color of his skin, and it's going to also select all of the orange in the car and make it blue. So I'm like freaking out. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I have to like manually mask him out, or I figure out some AI shit. We'll see.
You got it.
But I'm nervous about it, but we're going to do it.
Make it happen, dude.
Fucking A, what are you going to do tomorrow?
Probably sit in the pool. I don't know, actually. Tomorrow's going to be like the last full day here, so probably drink and smoke some weed.
You know what you should do? I was just talking to the person at the cold plunge thing that I go to in the morning. They just went to Sedona for like a quick little walk. And so like it's I think less than 2 hour drive, and you can be in Sedona and like go on Grasshopper Point or whatever. You lived here, you know the deal. But you guys should go to Sedona for your last
day. I actually talked about doing that. We wanted to do that, but then we were like, should we type of
thing?
We're
lazy. So, let's just drink and hang in the pool.
Well, the main thing is like everyone got really sunburned yesterday. Like we were in the pool all day long.
Yeah.
So like we're all like, can we do anything else outside again? Should we just stay inside, do shit? But like Sedona might still be a thing.
I heard it's like 70 degrees. So depending on how it is tomorrow, you should definitely consider it. And I got aloe in the fridge ready for you. I'll give it to you for real to take home to her. Probably already has some, but I'll give her that.
Yeah, she's been lotioning up.
Where are we at here? All right. 49 minutes of talking to Nick Seabass, dude. 49
minutes.
This is like one of our normal phone calls. You just call me out of the blue and then we talk, chat. You're the only, you're one of the only people that does that to me, and I love it. I love it and I hate it. I love talking shit to you, dude.
Yeah. No, I love talking shit to you too. That's why I do it. I haven't done it in a long time though. I've just been too busy. I used to be way more communicative with people, and like now I just don't, because like I just get overwhelmed, honestly, with like how much dead bread keeps me busy to the point where I'm like, I get burnt out. That's why even when coming here, I was just like, I didn't even tell anyone I was coming.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, I just need to get away and like be with my girlfriend and like her sister and her sister's boyfriend. Like, we're just going to chill and like fucking relax and like,
fuck yeah.
Yeah.
A little break from the grind.
Yeah.
What does your shorty do for work?
She's a waitress and manager, bartender. She's been at this place called Wrought Iron Grill. That's, in the town that we live in, and it's like kind of like a higher end restaurant, and she's been there for 10 years now. Dope. So yeah, she does it all there. She
in bartends. The industry.
Yeah, yeah. Dope. She waitresses, bartends, manages, like does a little bit of everything. So
that makes me feel a little better about my sister. My sister works at a like kind of a sports bar. Mm-hmm. I guess you would call it a sports bar. Yeah, there's like TVs everywhere. They have live music sometimes, and it's kind of like just alcoholic 50-year-olds, you know.
Yeah,
so it's fucking, I'm like, you gotta get out of that world, you know, but also at the same time, like, she can climb the ladder and do well in that world, and
exactly
she can live her life exactly how she wants, you know.
And it depends on the type of place too, like you know, it's Wrought Iron's more of like a restaurant than anything, so it's like
it's a little bit different than just being a bartender, but
even then, like, I've seen restaurants that were crazy, you know, like they have crazy staff and everything. Like the restaurant she works at's so weird to me. Like,
why?
The whole kitchen staff is just like dudes that like video games, and like, you know, they just go home straight to playing video games and stuff, where like most restaurants, like, the kitchen staff is like, all right, let's go like do a bunch of blow and hit the bars like as soon as we can lock up, and we're gonna go out till 2 a.m.
You're
and
used
wake
to
up
Cornish pasty 12. And Casey Mars.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that's every restaurant. Like, I've worked at restaurants like that. So it's like seeing one like that where it's like, you know, the whole back of the house is like, oh, like, we're gonna go home and
let's go squat up on Fortnite, boys.
Exactly. Like, yeah, and it's sick though. They're all cool.
Yeah, no shade on that, dude.
Like, yeah, I'm like, cool, man. Like, it's nice to see that actually.
Yeah.
Like,
I wish I had the time to play video games again, because I do miss. Like, I had so much fun playing Fortnite, because I when I was super fat, I was like, I got to do something, and I switched from drinking and going out and doing stuff to being a recluse and eating Kratom and playing video games. And I just played video games while losing weight and fasting and shit. And it kept my brain occupied, like, fully. That's the cool thing about video games. I think that's what attracts me to it, is like, same with chess. It's like all encompassing. Like, takes you out of reality for, you know, a brief amount of time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a, I just put Skate 3 down at the store.
Nice.
And I got like an old
PS3. That's a good way to kill some time, dude.
Yeah. And that's why like kids can come in and play it and shit and like chill out on the couch. And I was fucking in my downtime. Like, I need a break from everything. I'm like, all right, there's no customers in here. Like, I need to take a break from the website and doing other things. Like, I'm just going to go sit for a few minutes. And
play. Let's go shred.
Yeah. Like, I'll pick up for 5 minutes. And my ADHD will be like, all right, I'm done. And
nice.
Then, like, I'm back to doing something
different. I was going
to
ask what your escape is. That's Skate 3 then.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's a few of them for sure. My ADHD is really bad, so it's like hard for me to stay on one thing throughout the day, obviously. Yeah. So like, I'll be in the middle of like placing a big order for like skateboards or like, you know, clothing or something like that, and then it's just like, all right, like 10 minutes of this, and I'm like, okay, I gotta go do this over here, or like a customer walks in, like, oh, I gotta do this
I over think that's
there.
An and advantage, dude.
It does. I feel like I get so much done throughout the day, but like it takes me forever to get one task done.
Yeah,
because like I'll bounce around and finish like 10 different tasks.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back to that first one. I'm like, oh shit, like, I gotta get this in before 3, and it's 2:55. Like,
yeah,
you know, if it's gonna ship today, like, I need to do this now. Like, so yeah, definitely definitely helps and hurts all at once, for sure.
Is it diagnosed, your ADHD, or you just started saying it?
No, I mean, it's pretty much diagnosed. I went to the doctors a few times for certain things, because when I was out here, I had a pretty bad head injury, actually.
On the green hubba?
Yes, yeah. Green hubba, yeah. I got five staples to the back of my head. And
you were knocked out?
Yeah. It was like, I don't know how long I was knocked out for. Like, I basically just went off of, like, what Greg and Austin and them were saying. Like, yeah. What happened,
really? Wow, Greg fucking and Molitor, Austin used to live here, too. Yeah. Dude,
it was a crazy time. I don't even remember who else was with era. Us. I just remember Greg and Austin being there. And, like, all I remember was, like, I didn't want to try it again. Because I was like, what I want to happen isn't happening. And I'm, like...
What were you trying?
It was pedal 180. And I wanted to originally gap... over the sidewalk, yeah. But it's like kind of a far gap.
It's a gnarly
for
gap.
Out of a pedal grind,
right?
And I didn't feel comfortable going super fast at around that bend to get to it, to my switch side for the pedal.
Yeah.
So I was going kind of slow, and there was a few times where I like pedal 180'd and like landed on the sidewalk and kind of like half-ass cabbed off the curb. So they were like, "Oh, just do that," and I was like, "It's not what I want, but fuck it. All right, like." You know, and they're like,
it's always going to happen.
Give it another try. And I was like, all right. So the one time I like half-assed 180 out and just landed super back heavy on my back tire and just slung shot to my head.
God, yeah.
And I just wanted to fall asleep. And they were like, no, stay up. And like, they threw me in the back of the car and drove me to Tempe St. Luke's. And
wow.
Yeah. I got five staples and week or two later, Christina was taking them out with pliers in the in the living room. I was like, I'm not going back to the hospital. And I pulled one out by myself, and I was like, all right, that's not so bad, like here's the pliers, like take the rest out.
And
she was just sitting there like weaseling them
gang. I got 10 staples in my head.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking about
severe
that
head injuries, severe head trauma throughout, but like knocking yourself out like that is pretty fucking gnarly. What were the repercussions, and how do you like, what does that have to do with your ADHD?
It fucked me up for a while, like how I process things. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, I noticed it. It took me a while to even notice it, but like I noticed that I was doing things slower, and like I wasn't able to focus on things as easily. That's when I started like really fucking bouncing back and forth between things. Like I couldn't just do one thing at a time, and it like fucked up my OCD pretty bad too, like to a point where I constantly started like telling myself like, oh, like this little crack in the ground right here.
This is wrong.
Yeah, like I gotta hop at this crack, and if I can't hop at this crack, then like I can't do this, and like it started fucking me up like that, to a point where even now I'll go back and like check a door three times to make sure I locked it. And like,
damn,
my daughter even just said last week when I was leaving the store, she's like, why do you always have to go back in the store so many times before we leave? And I'm like,
sorry baby, I got OCD.
I have to, like, I gotta make sure I, you know, unplug this and make sure I lock this. And oh, I forgot this in there because like I'm grabbing 10 things, and I like, oh, I gotta make sure I remember to grab that. And and I leave and I'm like, fuck, I forgot to grab that. And like, I'll go back in, and
I think a lot of people have that problem, the OCD. Is there something that you can do to like fix it or change it?
I don't fucking know.
Have you like talked to a psychologist or anything, or a psychiatrist?
No. I did talk to a psychiatrist at one point. Not necessarily about that stuff, but more just like mental health related things that I needed to talk about.
Like what? I want to know.
No, just a lot of stuff, like just normal life shit, you know, like, you know, my daughter and like transitioning of like being a single dad at the time. And like, that was a big thing. And then like my riding definitely at one point was like, you know, a weird thing for me, 'cause like I had the head injury. I was filming this thing for BSD at the time, and then like eventually it was just like my head injury got to a point where like it ate at me to a point where I was like, you know what, like I don't want to do this right now type of thing. And I told Grant Smith, I was just like, dude, like
I'm sorry, I give up right now.
Yeah, I was like, I'm like, this is the footage I have right now. I'm not filming anymore right now. Like, I want to finish this project and move on to the next project. And, like, if it's not a BSD video, it's not a BSD video. Like, I just don't want to, like, put myself in that spot right now.
Yeah.
And my daughter was just born at the time, and I was like,
that's a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah. I just moved to Michigan. Like, I filmed a few clips there, and, like, that was the first few clips I filmed after the head injury that were, like, I felt good about. And there was, like, a few that I filmed at this dude, Blake Yard. And, yeah, I was like, okay, those are, like, some of the best clips I filmed in the past few years, like, since the head
He's
injury.
Back,
and, like,
baby.
Yeah, but at the same time, I was like, okay, I got those clips in there now, mixing with the other stuff that I had from here, and I was like, I'm calling it quits on this video. And
so what did you say to your psychiatrist? Like, hey, I'm, you know, I feel like I'm giving up, or what? Like, what was your mental health problem? Like, 'cause, like, people have mental health problems. Let's talk about it.
No, it was just a lot to handle all at once. You know, like
yeah, I can't even imagine, bro.
Yeah, my daughter was just born. Yeah. I was like, just moved to a whole new state and trying to figure out my life there. And, like, there was just so much going on to a point where I was just like super overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know how to handle this type of thing. And then I balanced that out. And it was when my daughter's mom and I were splitting and, like, handling that whole situation of, like,
gotcha.
How my daughter was going to be. And,
yeah.
Like, you know, with the whole situation. And
they were like, it's normal. People co-parent all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that big of a deal. You're making it a crazy big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I should be a psychiatrist. Look at these glasses, dude. Talk to me, baby.
Thanks,
what do you want to know?
You just fixed my problems.
Oh, shit.
That's
a lot. So did you move immediately after your head injury then?
Pretty much. It wasn't much longer, I don't think.
You're bringing back memories. I remember the, like, talk of Nick Sebastian's head injury was all over the place.
Yeah, it was a fucked up day.
It's like one of those things, like, did you hear about Nick? It's like, oh, shit. No. Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a... No, I got, severe whiplash, I remember. Because the next day, like, I woke up and I was like, oh, my God, I can't even move out of bed.
Damn.
And I didn't work for a few days because of it. I was like, I can't even move.
And it's so fucked up because it's just on a pedal grind 180, which is something, like, you do all the time.
All the time, yeah.
And that's what happened to Scotty. That's what happened to Mike. Dude, that's what happened to Drew.
That's when it happens.
I'm wearing a fucking helmet. I'm wearing a helmet, dude. Brain bucket gang.
Yeah, yeah. I still don't wear one. I should, but I should. But, no, I
We all that. Should, dude. I was having that talk with my girlfriend, and I was trying to defend not wearing a helmet, and then I was... Just like, logically, there's literally no way to win this argument. Like, it's so dumb to not wear a helmet.
Yeah, no, it is really stupid. But I just can't do it. I've tried, and it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
I feel like it's one of those things where, like, if you start wearing a helmet when you're first riding, you're like, you can just do it. But, like, as time goes on, I feel like it just changes the way everything feels so much. I feel like you're so used to riding without one.
Yeah.
And then one day you put it on, it's like,
it feels so free without it, for sure.
It feels so weird.
Yeah.
So after that, it took a long time for me to get back into the swing of things. You know, making sure, like, I feel like even my equilibrium was kind of off in, like, how I looked at things.
Yeah.
And it definitely took me a while, but
what was, like, the transition, like, because, like, I'm kind of going through that right now with, like, I think BMX is, like, my, you know, my one love. Like, I want to finish Mediocre at Best 2 bad. I want to fucking ride as much as I can, but, like, at the same time, you got to be an adult, you got to make money, you got to do your job, and add in long distance girlfriend, add in podcasting, and just, like, it's like I don't want to give up, but then I'm trying to imagine having a kid, and then it's like, oh, fuck BMX, like, I have to focus on my kid for a while.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah
what was it like?
No, that was definitely one of the hardest parts, being able to try and balance everything, because I would, at that point, I was riding, like, once a week maybe, and even that was stretching it sometimes,
right?
Yeah
It's crazy.
Grant and Trent being there definitely helped me stay involved, because I had, like, a reason to go out locally and,
shout,
like,
out
do
Grant
stuff.
And Trent.
Yeah, they Trent was living in Lansing, so, like, I was like, oh, fucking, I could just go over to Lansing real quick and go ride with him. He'll come to Owosso, like, we'll meet up, go places.
Yeah.
So that definitely kept me motivated while Millie was young. And then at that point, I told Grant at BSD, I was like, yeah, I'm like done riding professionally. Like, I don't want to be sponsored. Like, I just want to do my own thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, like, I completely understand. I get that. And then we end up dropping that video as a dig video.
There's something liberating about that.
Yeah. Like, it was just like, just a video.
There's that no pressure. It. Yeah. I'm just doing my shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it was sick. And then Nikki B, Nick Barjalowski, was working at Animal. And yeah, he was like, hey, like, I got some prototype tires in. Like, I want you to test them and stuff. And I was like, all right, cool. Yeah. Like, so he just started sending me some Animal shit. And, you know, Ralph's always helped me out in the past too with Animal, like before even riding for Primo and shit.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, didn't think anything of it. I was like, all right, yeah, just, you know, fucking riding some Animal parts. Like, you know, thank you for sending them.
Yeah.
Like, keeping me riding and shit, like, keeping my bike nice. And then Howard took over as the team manager there and was like, I want to get you on trips. I want to do stuff. Like,
hell yeah.
And at that point in time, like, I was back to feeling good again, and like Millie was a little bit older, she was in preschool. Like, I was like, all right, yeah,
nice,
let's fucking do it. And yeah, we just
so started. Eventually it all balanced out.
Yeah, yeah, started going on trips, and like then it became hard trying to balance out my day job, going on trips for Animal, I started riding for 80s as a frame company.
Yeah.
Spending
time with your daughter.
Yeah, that's what I mean, like doing all of it. Like, and then
what was an average day like, you know, wake up early, go to work, then what?
I worked at 6:30 in the morning at day job. Wow. So like, yeah, so I'd be there from 6:30 to 3.
Okay.
Monday through Friday.
That's nice. They get off at 3.
Yeah. And then I'd get out and I'd go do stuff with my daughter most of the time. And then like on the weekends is when I'd squeeze in doing riding stuff, or like if I went on a trip to go film or do something like that.
Yeah.
And then I was doing the dead bread stuff. So I was doing that from home. And then this past year is when, you know, obviously I opened the brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing my 6:30 to 3. And then I would leave there, go open the brick and mortar at 4, be there till 7. And then, so like, I didn't have any time to ride. And like, my time with Millie was like at the store.
Wow.
I made it where I was closed on Mondays so I could be with Amanda and Millie, you know, on Mondays, because she didn't work Mondays.
And nice. Like,
I would just pick Millie up from school and we would do whatever after that.
Smart.
Yeah. So it was like, I tried to make my schedule revolve around that with the store. And then when I quit my day job finally, because I was doing 65 hours a week.
Yeah, that's insane.
I finally quit the day job and now I'm doing 40 hours a week at the store. I'm there from noon to 7 on the weekdays.
Chilling, dude.
Yeah, exactly. So like in the mornings now I can like take Millie and Ellie and Logan to school in the mornings.
And then you got a little time to yourself. A
little time to just hang out with Amanda if she goes to work.
Nice.
Or like if she's home, like we'll just go grab breakfast or hang out, and then I'll go open up the store. She'll go to work. I'll take a break from the store at like 3 o'clock to go pick the kids up from school and stuff, and like, you know,
dad mode, dude.
Yeah,
I love it.
So it's
the
nice.
Kids from school.
Yeah,
it's so crazy to hear from your fucking mouth.
So
I'm still
so weird,
I'm
right?
still in Tempe at the stable in my brain, you know. But
a lot
of time
no.
has passed. It's
yeah.
crazy.
No, it's no.
What's you? Do you have
That's
a morning
a wild
routine?
Time living here.
Do you, are you optimizing your life, bro?
My morning? No, not at all. No. It is weird going from working as much as I was to not.
Yeah.
You know, because this past month was the first few weeks of doing that.
Yeah.
And I definitely find myself in the morning, like, pacing.
Yeah, like, I should be doing something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, I just start randomly cleaning something or, like, oh, I'm going to go to the store and, like, grab this and do that.
Yeah.
And, like,
get busy, you know,
buddy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just, like, constantly feel like I need to be moving. And I am breaking that a little bit where I'm finally getting to a point where I'm, like, all right, I can sit.
I
like,
can
this
relax.
Week, you know, like, this week, I'm, like, okay, I can relax a little bit.
Yeah.
But, like, no, it's still, I'm still here doing this.
Yeah.
You know, like even on my
this
vacation.
Is something, yeah.
Yeah, even on my vacation, like even though it's just chilling with you, talking and fucking catching up and shit.
Technically.
Like, we're technically still doing something. Like,
yeah.
I told you yesterday, I fucking insane email that I had to answer, but it was like an intense email.
Yeah.
That was very, very important.
You have to sit down and think through and type out. That was like,
it was like 2 hours. Like, I was sitting by the pool and stuff, but like, it was 2 hours of me just like, oh, fuck. Like, all right, I got to make sure this all looks good. And
Like, girlfriend's like, Nick, what are you doing? Yeah. Not right now, babe.
Yeah. Leave me alone for a minute. But no, it's, and usually like emails to me are just like,
yeah,
say whatever I want, but this, like, is an this important one specifically. I was like, oh shit, like I gotta be good on this one,
and we don't have to air out what it is.
No.
Could
no,
be
no.
exciting yeah. for Dead Bread, yeah, which is cool.
So yeah, no, there's lots of cool things that have been happening. So
I'm happy for you, man. Dead Bread's taken off, and I told you before when we were eating dinner before this, like, Dead Bread is such a good name. You have such a good logo. I think Dead Bread could really become something big. You know?
Thank you.
Do you? What's your vision for it? Do you think big with it?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What's the future of Dead Bread?
That's I don't know. No, I've had ideas in my head. I've had a lot of people ask if that's the only Dead Bread, the one in Owosso.
Yeah.
And we have talked about
franchising,
like, doing a second one. Somewhere. Grant and Trent are down in Austin, Texas right now, so I was like, that's a possibility.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A Dead Bread store in Austin, Texas, yeah. Dude. So that could be dope.
There's things, especially because like Burnslow is out of Austin, and like,
yeah,
they're going to be a brand I'm going to be stocking at the store for sure.
Dude, Burnslow is so sick.
They're so sick.
Yeah. And love Adam is Adam really Roy. Nice. Yeah.
Dude, Adam Roy is sick.
Adam Roy, Aaron Ross, Chase Hawk, everybody is partnered in that, mm-hmm. I think. Right?
I think. I'm not too sure. Actually, I don't know. I might have met Adam. I don't even know if I've met Adam Roy personally, but I just
he's a mysterious motherfucker.
I just love the shit he does. Like,
he's got an account called Painting in the Dark. No, I haven't.
Yeah,
it's really good.
All right, I'm gonna look that up. Yeah. Actually, where's that? Yeah, because even when I was writing for Colt, like, just Adam mm-hmm. Roy's art was like
so cool.
The whole reason I loved it, you know, yeah. Like,
it's Colt. The phases of Colt is pretty interesting. The OG Ryan Navazio videos, and kind of just like just the logo basically, and then Navazio phases out, Vish comes in, and then like there's that distinct look of like the trick that Vish does where he films a clip from his phone playing on a screen, mm-hmm. and then takes that clip and puts it in the video, and it's like a
it gives it
a very like unique look, and then that whole era.
Yeah.
It's fucking interesting. All of it.
Vish is sick too.
He's amazing, man. Super, super talented.
Yeah. Robbie, you know, they used to do those like Fox tours and stuff like that. And they did like Colt jams up and down the East Coast back in the day. And I went on those. And Vish, I don't remember what it was for, but he came out for one of them. And it was just like a long weekend thing. And that was the first time meeting Vish. And this was back in 2011-12 or something.
Yeah.
And him and I just like we got drunk and just like kind of fucking had a heart to heart and like talking about shit, and like he was so sick.
He's
and,
real
like
dude.
his vision on everything was always fucking awesome. Like I loved watching his videos, like mm-hmm. yeah no even just watching those like newer Back to Fucking Dakota videos, like watching those videos of like Vish making the music for them.
Yeah. So
like rad. So insane yeah. to me. He's when I watch films that now, I was basically, like, holy shit, dude, you're doing top to bottom.
Yeah, like everything. So,
and it's always like you watch them and you're just like, oh, this like
it's a good song.
This is a good song. Like, damn, they found a really good clear
song.
You
see the title.
And it's like Vish.
Yeah.
So
back to Dead Bread scaling or actually the original. I want to know like what it took to open the brick and mortar, like how big of an investment to open a franchise of Dead Bread would it be?
All right. So I don't know about that part yet. But no, when I started Dead Bread in 2016, it was just, I had the logo sitting for a while and I was like, you know, we started talking about this earlier about how it started with that girl from, mm-hmm. Vine, and that whole thing never ended up happening. Like she ended up not doing anything with any of that stuff anymore. And like, I just had my logos sitting and like my whole,
so she
thing.
Was the catalyst, like, but then you made the shit.
Yeah. And then like, so the logos kind of sat around for a long time. And that's like, you know, when my daughter was born, I was working at this old bike shop and I was like, I need to do something different. Like, you know, I'm making $10 an hour right now. I have a daughter and like, I need something. And, yeah, so I started putting, anytime I had a dollar bill in my wallet, I would put that dollar bill aside. And when I got up, I think I had like $100 in dollar bills. I made my first run of hats or shirts or something, whatever it was.
Nice.
And I threw a jam out in Detroit, and a shit ton of people showed up. And yeah, I sold out of shirts and hats and stuff. And
how much did you sell shirts and hats for?
$20, I think.
Nice. Yeah.
And I still reasonable. Do. Yeah. Yeah. I still sell the shirts for $20, and the hats are $22 now. And yeah, yeah. I try to keep it cheap and yeah, keep it affordable, but that's like super dope. Nice quality stuff. So like,
and that's 2016. So then is it just kind of stays the same online orders and yep. It's kind of on the back burner yeah. while you're doing your thing and in your electromagnetic yeah, component yeah. manufacturing job. Did I just say that right? I feel like I just nailed it. Electromagnetic component manufacturing.
Electromechanical
oh. components. Damn. But
you're good. Almost. You're good. There's a no. So yeah, when I stopped working at the bike shop to work at Toledo, that's the name of that place.
Oh, okay.
When I started working there, that's when it like Dead Bread kind of took a back burner because I was like, oh, I have like a job.
Yeah.
You know, like a job.
I remember it was kind of quiet for a while.
Yeah. And then 2020 came around, and for some reason I had a bunch of extra money from COVID stuff, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking make some more Dead Bread shit. And like the Dead Bread sales that year were pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, okay,
cool.
And then I went through the split and like, you know, figuring all that stuff out with my daughter, and like, so Dead Bread was nothing again for a little bit. And then
yep.
2020 was when I was going to open up that brick and mortar and stop myself. And yeah, and then 2022 rolled around, and my girlfriend and her sister kind of like pushed me back into it a little more.
Nice.
Her sister was like,
that's a good girlfriend.
Like, you got to make more stuff again. Like, she was like, yeah, do it. Fucking, where are you going?
Yeah.
And instantly, like, on the trip, I started like designing stuff and like making stuff. And
nice.
Made a few batches of things here and there. And then, yeah, like I said, that opportunity came up for the store, and I was like, fuck. Like,
let's go.
Let's go. Let's do it. And I was like, we need something in this area that supports BMX and skateboarding. Like, we have a bike shop that like carries it but doesn't do anything with it.
Yeah. You know?
So I was like, I want to be able to like have jams, photo shows, video premieres, like
yep.
all that shit, you know, like what a BMX and skate shop does.
Right.
And you know, and the Dead Bread name was already catching on and like doing stuff. So I was like, fuck, like
let's go.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So having everything incorporated with each other makes sense. And yeah, the Dead Bread stuff goes well. Skateboards sell like crazy. Yeah.
Sick.
BMX stuff is going well now. It's
pretty. Is there Dead Bread skateboards?
They're coming.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, I do have some decks on the way.
Hell yeah.
I have a limited batch of 20 coming. And
gonna sponsor some local homies?
Yeah. No, there's. Yeah. I mean, there's already... there's actually some skaters that I have hooked up with clothing and shit in the past.
Nice.
There's a dude, Richie Blackshaw, that skates for Metal, Fred Gall's company.
Dope.
I grew up with him back in New Jersey. He fucking kills it. So I've sent him stuff over the years. Some of the local dudes, like, I've hooked them up with shit. I was going to say something, but I forgot what it was. But no, yeah, it's...
So tell me, have you done like it's how long has it been open, this brick and mortar? About a year?
October 15th was
the October 15th of last year.
Yeah,
2020. Wow, so it's still like kind of fresh.
Yeah,
like
yeah, it's been
seven months. Yeah.
Yeah.
I follow you obviously, so I see the progress of the store and you're mm-hmm. you sharing the journey, and it's like inside of some place that has a bunch of other places.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Have you done video premieres or jams? I mean, I know you've done jams, but have you done a video premiere there yet?
We did do the local, it's called the Wasi Posse.
The Wasi Posse.
Yeah.
Skate
so,
video?
Owosso. Yeah. Sick. Owosso. They have the Wasi Posse. Shiawassee County is where we're at. So that's where Wasi Dope. Posse comes from. Yeah. So we had their video premiere like a few weeks into being open, actually.
Nice.
I had a Blake Yard photo show there, and there was an animal. Let him have it. Have it? Is that the name of the video?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Hit him with it.
No.
With it or let him have it. Let him have let it was like I think the most
that's,
recent.
Yeah, that's the newest one.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had a Let Him Have It premiere, but it was like a crazy fucking snowstorm. So we were expecting like over 100 people to show up, and like
10,
15 showed up. Dude.
But still fun.
A 5-pack drove from Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah. Like 4-something hours
yeah.
to Dead Bread in a like snowstorm. Crazy snowstorm. Like Howard had a van full of people come from Ohio, and he had to turn around because it was so bad.
Damn.
He was like 45 minutes outside of the city he lives in. He was like, dude, we gotta go back. There's no
wow.
way. And these dudes from Chicago showed up. And I was on the phone with them at one point, and they were like, oh yeah, like we're going to this one dispensary like over by Detroit. And I was like, dude, you guys are going to pass us by like 2 hours. And you're like, but we have to go to that one. I was like, dude, there's 6 dispensaries across the street from me. Like, come here. And they're like, but there's this one we really have to go to. And it's then, like,
why?
Yeah. And then I looked it up, and they were passing another one. But wow. it's like yeah. they only went to that one in the past and didn't realize there was more than one.
Yeah.
So it was fucking hilarious. Oh, and they were like, oh, shit, dude, you just saved us like 3 hours or yeah. something. And I was like, yeah, dude, what?
What is he doing yeah. in a snowstorm?
No, and I couldn't believe they drove that far. It was fucking sick.
What's your setup? I don't think I saw like anything on Instagram. You got a projector on the wall or like just a TV with couches and shit?
For the Wasi Posse premiere, we did have a projector on the wall. Let Him Have It was supposed to be premiered at the movie theater across the way.
Ooh, that'd be sick.
The movie theater was booked up that day. But they said for future, like, we're like full access pretty much.
Dope.
So there's a sports bar in the same parking lot, and they were going to premiere it for us. Like, they have a huge setup.
Sick.
So we were going to have it there, but then the storm hit, and they're like, we're closing early. We're getting out of here.
Yeah.
So we ended up just doing it on the TV at the store with the 15 people that showed up.
Yeah,
and then
fuck it.
All the dudes from Chicago and stuff just posted up with sleeping bags in the store overnight. And,
yeah.
But, yeah, it was
nowhere to go because it's a fucking snowstorm.
Dude, it was so bad.
I can't even imagine living in a snowstorm at this point. Like, we get haboobs here, but other than that.
I just explained those to Amanda and her sister and Patrick actually yesterday. I was like, yeah, like the first time I saw a haboob. And,
they're like, what's a haboob?
Yeah.
What is a haboob?
And they're like, what the fuck? Dust storm. Crazy dust storm.
It's like Independence Day made out of dirt. It's so wild.
Yeah.
It fucking takes over the city. And pictures of them look insane. When you Google haboob, H-A-B-O-O-B.
Yeah.
Ha, boob.
Ha, boob.
Ha, boobies. When you Google it, it's insane. There's that's an Arizona feature.
Yeah, exactly. No, it is crazy. But yeah, no, we try to do as much as possible. We have a skate contest coming up in June. Teamed up with a dispensary. So this dispensary, Skymint, they have like 25 locations throughout Michigan.
Cool.
So they're gonna help put on the skate contest. We're gonna have like live music, food truck, shit like that. Like, I'm trying to make it more than just a skate contest. Like, make it like a
little
festival type thing. I plan on doing those and just making those bigger too.
That's dope.
Even seeing what Trey Jones does with Swamp Fest and stuff, I'm like, dude, it doesn't have to be just like BMX or skateboarding. You know,
right,
like.
Yeah.
Fucking make it fun for people, like get people out seeing it, doing it, like
Cool seeing Swamp Fest this year being a mix of skating, BMX, just like I don't know, motocross and fucking just regular people who are just getting drunk in the fucking swamp, you know.
I even have a Blood Wizard Swamp Fest deck actually sitting at the store right now. It's sick as fuck. Like,
that's dope.
Seeing that was really cool. Like, Blood Wizard's great. Like, I know you don't know much about skateboarding, but like, Blood Wizards, like, it's been around a while, you know? And like,
the fact they made a Swamp Fest deck is crazy.
Yeah. Just as soon as I saw the Swamp Fest deck, I was like, fuck yes, they did that.
Yeah.
Like,
it's super sick. You're in the world, the manufacturing world of the BMX and skate, which is super interesting.
There's been a lot of cool collaborations with it. Like, obviously Colt does it all the time, you know. They did the Huff ones and trying to think what else. I mean, obviously they do van stuff all the time, but
Tyler the Creator.
Tyler. Yeah, they just posted that today, actually. Yep. But even, you know, Animal's done the same thing, too, with the rap industry. And then, Sunday did Baker, a Baker collaboration. And then Fairdale did a Toy Machine collaboration. So,
really?
Like, yeah, there's been a lot of cool BMX skateboarding collaborations.
I didn't know about those last two. I didn't know Sunday did Baker stuff. And
yeah, there's a picture of like Andrew Reynolds sitting on like a Sunday cruiser that has like Baker on it.
Like,
yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's awesome.
There's just seeing that stuff is awesome. And even the one, because I'm going to be stocking, I can say it, I guess, I'm going to be stocking Vans at the store. And
dope. That's huge, huh?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a big get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
What's it like to try and get, like, a license to sell Vans? Like, how does that work? How hard is that?
Typically not easy. Yeah. yeah, there's, I was kind of stressed about it because it's something I've wanted for sure. And I was like, okay, I need to make this happen. Even though I, like, wasn't fully ready for it, I knew I needed to start getting the ball rolling on it.
Yeah.
And when I first called them, it was kind of discouraging because, like, I got the email of, like, the customer services number that I needed and everything. And, like, I was, like, getting my ways in there. And, yeah, they – when I called them, they were just like, oh, well, you know, how long have you been in business? And I was like, well, the store opened, you know, in October.
Five months. Yeah.
yeah. And they were like, well, you need to be in business for a year.
Oh, first. Shit.
And I was like, oh, like, before we even start talking about stuff, yeah. I was like, shit. But luckily I do have a homie who works at Vans that I was like, you know, him and I have talked about in the past, and he was talking about, like, the whole making BMX and skateboarding, like, combined.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, like, there's no reason for a divide.
And for real.
Like, he's like, he's been involved in skateboarding forever, and he's fucking still out there killing it all the time. And, like, he's really good filmer too, and, like, films with Dak and shit. And so yeah, he was like, you know, if you have any issue, when I told him that I wanted to carry Vans at the store, and that's what I was trying to do with Dead Red, was kind of like break that barrier.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, if you have any issues, like, let me know. And as soon as that came up, I was like, hey, man.
Hey, I got an issue.
Is there a way we can get around this?
And can he's we like, expedite the 1 year process, yeah. please?
So I don't know if we can actually put this part in there, but maybe we shouldn't. Maybe take some of these details out. But yeah, it was one of those things where it was just like, he was like, all right, send me the information. You know, like, fucking, we'll get this rolling. So
maybe edit at 126.
yeah. Yeah, I don't want to put too much out there. I started thinking about it after I was talking to you. I was like, ugh.
Start talking, and then you're like, oh, shit, I yeah. can't be saying this.
Yeah. I was like, oh, no, I could say that. Like, I'll be carrying Vans, but, like, I don't know.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
100 people are going to listen to this. You're fine.
I don't know, man.
Let's wrap her up.
Yeah.
What are you most proud of in your BMX career? Proudest clip, first.
Proudest
thing.
Clip?
Yeah.
Fuck.
You filmed a lot of shit in your life.
I don't know. There's a... Actually, driving through downtown Phoenix the other day, I mentioned to Amanda that two of my favorite clips I've ever filmed were right there on that same corner. And one of them was, like, I tire ride a barrier and then feeble this ledge and then drop into...
Oh, yeah.
Drop into a parking garage.
Filmed by G Molly T.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That was the first clip I ever filmed with him.
Actually. No shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
We just, him and I hopped on
and
the light rail.
It ended up being the banger, right?
I think so. Yeah. 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 And, yeah, we hopped on the light rail and just went to Phoenix, and we were messing around on the barriers. And I was like, oh shit, this kind of lines up over here to do this and this. And, yeah, I just started fucking with it. And
Greg's like, yeah, man, fucking do that shit.
Yeah, yeah. You should Smith it, man. But no,
Smith it, man.
Yeah, you should Smith it.
You love Greg.
Yes. But no, actually, it's funny because I think originally I was looking at just oversmithing the barrier and then dropping.
Wow. And then that would be buck.
Yeah. And then I hopped into a tire ride just like feeling it out a few times. And I was like, well, shit, actually, like this kind of links up to that other ledge. And I was like, I could tire ride and feeble that one and drop.
Nice.
So that's how that one came about. And then there was another one right down there. I forget what store it's in front of, but it's like on the corner. There's like Chipotle over there, that little like shopping plaza thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a rail hop that like I hopped, landed manual, and then like
yep.
180
down. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that's a great
and
clip.
Those two are like some of my favorite clips,
yeah.
and they're like right next to each other.
I filmed the homie Josh just hit the rail hop, and we were talking about it, and I was like, Nick Sebasti did this to manual to 180, and I was like, damn, because oh, he was juiced up after
yeah.
he landed the rail hop. Like, we were all really hyped, and then that's next level to landing a 180, you know?
Yeah, no, I did the rail hop a few times, and it was just one of those things where I was like, I really like the manual, like it's right there, you know. Yeah. Like I was like, oh, it makes sense to land and yeah. do something down the stairs. So I was like, I started just kind of leaning back a little bit, and I was like, okay, like the manual, I can land it manual works. Out of this, no problem.
Yeah.
And then it was just getting the 180 down the stairs because it was like kind of an awkward spin. But yeah, no, it worked out just how I wanted it to.
And beautifully. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So yeah, them two are definitely up there.
Them two can count. Them All right. Two. Fuck it. Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. Oof.
Did you know this was coming?
I mean, yes. I see this on Instagram daily.
Yeah.
Now, Mount Rushmore. Fuck. That's four, right?
Mm-hmm.
Four. I'm going to have to say Bob, Sherbo, and Edwin.
Fuck yeah.
They're definitely up there. Dakota definitely is a big, big influence for me.
Okay.
Just like his way that he looks at spots, the way that he goes out looking for them, fixes them, shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even outside of the riding aspect.
What about Edwin and Bob?
Bob and Edwin, I mean, it's just their style and creativity, and like same thing with them. You know, it's like
they changed the game.
Yeah,
dude.
It's
yeah.
people who go out looking at spots differently. You know, like
yeah.
And those three for sure do that. Like yep. they go out, they see a spot differently. Like,
and you know what? I bet Dakota grew up sweating Edwin and Bob. You know,
probably like, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Exactly.
100%.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you see those dudes, they're like, yeah, you can tell like they showed up to a spot and they're like, I'm doing this on this spot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and
sometimes it's super simple. Like Bob would do just a long ice pick on a ledge and I'm like, that's so sick.
So
dude.
Sick.
Same with Edwin. Simple shit, but super cool.
The style was there and like their vision was there. Like,
yeah.
There's dudes that I watch and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like,
okay,
but,
incredibly impressive trick on a standard setup.
Yeah,
you know?
Like,
yeah.
Okay, that was a cool 18 stair.
Yeah.
Truck driver, like, you know, whatever. Like, it's fucking crazy.
I appreciate it,
but it's not like, oh, yeah.
Man, you have a refined street taste, you know? Like, after watching so many street videos, like, you get taste, like, you're like, oh, that's delightful. Like, he chose the
exactly,
spot, he rode it, he used it in the right way, like, all that.
No,
sometimes less is more, which is cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's too many, honestly, but those three for sure.
Okay.
And then like,
what about Matt Hoffman, bro? In the comments.
Yeah. Right. Dude, shout out to Matt Hoffman for fucking grind down a rail ever.
Yeah.
Can I put a skater in there? Cause I watch skate videos a lot. No, there's a four. There's a fourth one.
There sure is, and it's somewhere in your head right now.
It is. There's just so many is the problem. Like, those three stand out for sure. Like, those are my, like, top three favorite riders, I think, of all time. And then, you know, obviously, Tom White, fucking insane.
Okay.
That's
the street. That's the streetest.
Yeah.
Mount Rushmore we've heard so far.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of someone, like, not on Animal 2 back in the day.
Yeah.
But that's what I watched and grew up fucking loving. Because there's so many. Drew Hasselton.
Yeah,
holy
dude.
Shit, dude. He's up there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
for me personally
thing.
Too.
Like
dude.
He's one of those people that goes out, searches for a spot he wants to ride, and like he knows how to ride the spot he wants to ride.
Yep.
Like he's like, this is what I'm doing here. Like,
I just like screen recorded an old video you guys wanna look up on Vimeo, search Drew Hasselton is bashful in Arizona, and it's a fucking edit from it was one of my earlier edits of me filming, and I just watched it and I was like, wow, like all of these spots, like I have no clue where they are. Like Drew used to pick me up in his van and then take like literally put me in the back and say, we're going to a secret spot, and then fucking like make extra turns so that I wouldn't know where the shit is. It's fucking wild.
So crazy. Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
That's a good Mount Rushmore. There should be one. I should do one for like just Arizona legends, like Joey Mata, Drew Hasselton, Troy Blair, Clay Johnson.
Dude.
It's tough because then I'm leaving out everybody. You know?
That's what I mean. That's why
Nick
like,
Bonnell is definitely on there right now, and Floyd from Tucson and Kevin Peraza. It's like, it's impossible. That's why it's a fun question, because it's impossible. So it's like,
it is
who
impossible.
Are you going to pick?
Yeah. Because like, I'm even thinking about like more recent people that I'm hyped on. Like obviously all my homies that I'm hyped on shit all the time. Like,
who are you hyped on? Is there anybody that I should know about that I don't know about?
Oof. Trent Lusky. Grant Uberoth, Noah Hunsinger.
I know Dems. I know Dems.
That kid Tam. That
the edit today was fire.
I actually haven't even watched it yet, so don't tell me.
It's incredible.
I've been vacation mode.
He went in, dude.
So, yeah, I got to watch that today.
Because like you see on his Instagram, it's kind of banging. Like he does bangers on Instagram, but in the video, it's bangers.
Dude. Julian Arteaga.
Yeah.
He's fucking sick.
He's on some other style swag, but also super technical shit.
Yeah. Jerry. Fuck.
Jared Duncan is Jerry?
Jared Duncan. Yes. Yeah. 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 That's what I was trying to say. Yeah, he's fucking sick as fuck, too.
Well, I've heard of all these guys, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's just so many. There's so many people that fucking kill it. So, yeah, anyone like that?
We love them all. Let's see. The advice to your younger self, if you could go back in time. Like, you're just starting to live the BMX life.
Fuck.
What do you tell yourself?
I don't know. Like, honestly, things went weirdly smooth for me. Like, I gotta say, like,
that's a good answer. You shouldn't want to change anything.
No, that's the only thing that's, like, ever went smoothly in my life, I feel like, was riding BMX.
Hell yeah.
Like, just talking to you about, like, how my first sponsor happened and, like, how I made that ESPN video because Brian Tunney was just like, hey, fucking make a video. And, like, all that stuff just naturally happened, and it was weird. Like, running into Bob Sherbo and, like, from the age of 12, like, all the way through, it just, like, was weirdly natural. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ending up here the way I did, like, it was just a weird smooth thing that I feel like that's the only thing I can tell other kids is just fucking live your life, ride your bike,
let it flow,
have fun,
be water, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Go with the flow, just do what you do. Like, I get a lot of kids on a daily basis like, how do you get sponsored? Like, how do I get sponsored by Dead Bread?
What do you say?
I tell them that, like, just ride your bike, have fun, like, keep killing it, you know, like, just keep doing what you're doing, have fun, ride. Like I don't know, like, the whole reaching out to get sponsored thing, I feel like, is like, it works for people, but like, I feel like if you're just out doing it and you love doing it, like, it will happen eventually, you know. Like, that's, I would go out to jams and contests and just, like, because I wanted to be there and I wanted to be doing those things. Not because, like, I was like, oh, I got to go.
I hope somebody sees me.
Yeah, I got to go to this contest and kill it and do this. Like, I was just like, no, I fucking hate contests.
Yeah.
Like,
here's step two of my diabolical plan to get sponsored.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no. Just
but the reaching out part you mentioned is funny because when I was at Sabrosa, like, this is when Common Crew was still babies, and they had like advocates. Like, it wasn't Julian reaching out, it was fucking Francis or emailing, I think it was Francis, just emailing like a dorky professional email. Shout out Francis. Just to just laughing, showing me the email, like, Julian Arteaga is a great writer with wonderful style and all this shit. So, like, it's like, oh. But if you're going to do it, you should have somebody else do it for you on your behalf. That's a good way to do it instead of trying to get yourself sponsored.
No, like, I honestly, I see some dudes who are hungry to the point where it hurts them. You know, like, they
looks
try
bad.
So hard.
It's a bad,
like,
look.
Dude, just fucking relax. Like, just.
We had one of those fun. Here. That like had in his Instagram bio, like, sponsor me so I can go hard for your company.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Anthony,
a lot.
I love you if you're listening. He's a nice guy. He's pregnant. He's going to have a kid soon.
Okay.
Or he just had a kid or something. So I'm happy for him, but he's really good at biking, but that was his bio and it's just cringe.
No,
like, you can't do that shit, dude.
It's a downfall for sure. Yeah. And
I don't see things that cringe that much, but putting sponsor me in your Instagram bio is one of those things.
And now I have it happen with BMX and skateboarding. You know? So it's like
you see the whole gamut.
Yeah, and I like
we can't blame the little kids, dude. Like,
No. 13 that's what I mean.
You gotta give them good advice.
No, exactly. And that's why I always tell them when they ask, like, how do I get sponsored? You know, how do I do this? And I'm just like, dude, just keep riding your bike, have fun. Like, if it's
going
to happen, it's gonna happen. Like, if you're out there having fun and, like, just doing what you love doing, eventually something's gonna happen for you, you know? Like, no matter what it is. I've seen dudes who don't even get sponsored but end up being sales reps for companies and stuff.
Right. You can get involved in the industry even if you're not that great at riding.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I just saw Trevor Siglock's story. He asked ChatGPT, how do I get a Suron sponsorship? And ChatGPT broke it down. Like, all right, first of all, you have to create a social media following. Companies want somebody with a good social media following. I was like, that's true.
Yeah.
And then number two, you got to go to local events and competitions. And I was like, that's true. And then three, like, there's actual things that you do need to do in order to, like, become a professional writer, which is kind of interesting. So you tell the kids, like, yeah, keep writing and have fun, but there is some things that you should be doing, exactly. You know?
And that's the thing is, like, if you love doing it and you want to be doing
you're going to be doing those
things anyway. Yeah, you know, that's what I mean. That's why, like, that's the simplest plain advice I can
give.
It's just like, just do it. Just have fun doing it. If you're having fun doing it, you're going to do those things. That's how we started filming videos with, like, me and Small Fry and stuff. Like, we went out making videos, not because someone was asking us to, or, like, not because we were like, oh, we want to get sponsored.
Yeah. A sponsor didn't tell you to go make a video. We just go make a video.
Oh, we just want to do this. We want to go out and film and, like, do shit. Yep. And then, like, you know, that led to me filming with other people, and then other people that happened to be filming worked for ESPN, and, like, it all just comes full circle.
Meeting people.
Get out there and do it.
I remember some of my earlier trips when I was, like, 18. I went out to California. I met Vish. I met Ditch Matt. I met Joe V. I met Barney. And then, you know, I know them, and this, it's so crazy. That's like 2008, dude. Like, this is way back in the day, you know? And I still know them to this day, but my advice to young kids is, like, meet as many people as you can, travel, make shit happen by yourself, like, throw jams, do whatever you can. And, be nice to everybody. Don't be a dick.
Have
fun. Yeah. That's it.
Oh yeah.
Any last words? Anything you want to shout out? What's going on?
Yeah. No, I got to shout out Animal, obviously. Ralph, since day one, fucking, even when I was like 12, 13 years old, helped me out with shit, you know. 80s Bike Company, Pablo and Diego, like, they're fucking awesome dudes.
Where are they based out of?
Argentina.
Sick.
Yeah. It's crazy. Because, like, it kind of
reminds
me.
Writing for an Argentinian frame company.
Yeah, right? And it kind of, like, you know, BSD's been around since 1992.
Yeah, they're pretty OG.
And they didn't get big in the US till like 2010. You know, so it's like thinking about that.
Shut up, Maloof.
And, like, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Maloof brought BSD to the US.
Yeah,
big,
right? Heavy. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he put on, like, Reed and. Yeah. And then
Reed has carried the torch and put everybody on.
The '80s has been around since 2000 in Argentina, and they just started hitting the US like a year or two ago. It was 2 years ago now. So, yeah, it's definitely crazy to see like that. So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Are you working on video projects for them?
More so Animal, just because. I'm busy with so much stuff, and Animal sends me on trips and stuff more. We've talked about it, though, like getting an 80s trip together to go film a video. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I need to look up who's on the 80s team. Is Dead Bread ever going to put out a full length?
Yes. Yeah.
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 Some plans?
Yeah. Actually, it's got a shop camera, too. So basically, I'm going to be doing that for both sides of things. Like, I'm gonna be out filming skaters, I'm gonna be out filming riders.
Oh,
like,
you the filmer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck
so
yeah. That's a good way to get out and stay involved without risking hitting your head again.
You know? Yeah. So Trent and Grant, and Small Fry, you know, and Noah, like, all of them film and edit too. So, like, we've made little videos here and there and stuff like that, and we're gonna continue doing those. But I'm going to start doing it for both sides, skate and BMX. I do want to make more mixtapes of just, like, actually even make mixtapes of, like, both together, like, skate and BMX. So
the Dead Bread video has a skate section, BMX. Skate.
That's what I mean. Like, mix it up, dude. Yeah. Like, fucking, it'll be,
throw it all together like a wonton soup, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So, no, it's that's definitely going to be happening.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
All right, where are you going to go now? 9:45. Time to go to the bar.
Yeah,
Dude, it feels like 5 minutes since Casey I said Morse. It was 50 minutes in. But we're out here. It's been an hour since then. That's fucking awesome.
Jesus. Yeah.
That's when it became a normal conversation.
Yeah.
It was a podcast for 50 minutes, and then all of a sudden there's a phone call. Yeah. Like, as soon as we mentioned the old phone calls. All right. Thanks,
man. Oh, yeah, man. Thank you.
That's it. Thank you guys for watching Canode Knows. You've reached the end of the video. Make sure you like and subscribe. Shout out Dig. And thank you, Nick Sebasti. You know? Go follow Dead Bread MFG and buy some of their stuff. Okay, that's it.